I'm going to let that one go by. Simply because I couldn't talk over the top of it. But please don't do that again, because there may be people here that want to speak on something very different than what Dan had to say, and that kind of thing is very intimidating. All right. Now, I just want to speak very briefly to what the very first thing you said, that you're sitting here in front of a committee that you're afraid of. And I want to assuage those fears right now. This board cannot and will not vote up or down on wind turbines. That is not our job. That job is in the hands of people of the town of Camden. Okay? So please don't be afraid to come forward and speak your mind. We want to hear what you have to say. If there's anybody still up in TV land, they want to hear what you have to say. But there's nothing to be afraid of from this board. We're very open to what the next person that wants to speak. There's this gentleman right here.
My name is Mark Ratner. I live at 14 Ragged Mountain Road. I've lived here for 3 years, moved here from Los Angeles. And if you spend a lot of time in California traveling, you've seen wind turbines, huge wind turbine farms way out in the countryside. And it's interesting, most of the time, they don't seem to be spinning, they don't seem to be working. I've always been sort of enamored of wind power, and I thought, wow, maybe it'd be cool to get a household unit or something like that. And I've been doing some research, and most of the units I've been looking at around the Common Ground Fair, most of the units I've looked at in the last couple of years have not been produced, have not gone to production, and there have been problems with them. And one of the studies I looked at today was that, it quotes, Clean Technica looked at generating 200 kilowatt hours a month, a figure they said a, quote, fugal tree hugger in a tiny house might use. They used the second smallest turbine, 3-inch blades, to guarantee that much a month in tests, and found that it would cost $127,000 to purchase enough of the turbines to generate 200 kilowatts. However, to set up a 200 kilowatt a month solar power system, estimated to cost about $15,000. You know, the difference, wind power, it's had a lot of great publicity, but it hasn't been working really well. And one of the most interesting things I found today, and you know, there's a lot of talk about feasibility study. Well, I went on to the internet today and looked at the Wind Energy Resource Atlas of the United States. And I printed out a map, which is the main annual average wind power. And what it says about, what the study says about New England, an extensive area including most of Vermont, New Hampshire, as well as much of Maine, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, has average wind power at class 3 or higher in exposed locations. And they mention the best exposed mountain ridgetops in Vermont's Green Mountains, New Hampshire's White Mountains, and Maine's Longfellow Mountains. And then it goes to talk about what does they classify wind power classes ranging from class 1, the lowest, to class 7, the highest. And each class represents a mean range of mean wind power. Areas designated class 3 or greater are suitable for most wind turbine applications, whereas class 2 areas are marginal. Class 1 areas are general, not suitable. This map has the whole area around Camden and stuff as a class 2 area. If you're looking for a feasibility study, this map says that it's not feasible to have here. I can pass these two pieces along to make the map itself. But it didn't take me long to go look at that. It seems, you know, the feasibility, you know, maybe I just saved everybody $75,000, I'm not sure, but it's pretty clear that, you know, without doing the research, it seems like a good idea, but once you get into it, it doesn't seem to be working. That's what I have to say.
Somebody else here would like to speak. Thank you. My name is Dennis Lopez, and I don't live in Camden. I live in West Rockport on the other side of the Ragged Mountain, and I own property there at 1140 Rockland Street, which, as you know, is Route 17. It's a farmhouse that was built in 1884. My home, along with the home on Misty Ridge, were the original two farm homes that controlled all of that sheep land many generations ago. And I'm sure many happy families and children were raised there. I'm privileged to be the custodian of this home. For the last 8 years, I've worked a lifetime to save enough to move to Maine, to move to the mainland. Actually, I've lived on the offshore islands almost all my life. And my concern is, quite honestly, I feel I'm in a butter because the CMP, the Aquamaine land runs between me and Ragged Mountain. But I look directly up at, I would say, 12 to 1,500 yards is the peak of my living room window. And it's a beautiful scene. Naturally, as a butter, I'm completely concerned that this property and my neighbor's property were here as well. There's a small cluster of homes in the area, basically near the boys' home, if you know where that is. We live right between Mirror Lake and Grassy Pond. Very concerned that what I've worked a lifetime for to retire at would be decimated in property value by these turbines. I'm not a technocrat. I do lean green. If you told me we were going to put 200 of them out on some, you know, in block 691 in a part of Maine where no one lives, I'd probably say, yeah, give it a go. But I believe what the gentleman said about the phantom profits and the phantom management and the phantom ownership, that what has to be watched here is the revenue stream. Who's going to benefit? No one in this room. If you were to save 0.001% of an $80 electric bill, would you rush to have this nightmare on Ragged Mountain? It hasn't improved on paper to save communities money, and the one time it did was on Block Island in 1977, where I lived for many years in a small community. NASA put up the first experimental wind turbine. And it did power one-third of the homes on the island. And with that in mind, the community sort of felt, well, it's noisy, it's ugly, but maybe. Well, it was taken down quite quickly by the local owner of the power company, who was selling electricity for the highest rates in the country, made out of a couple of World War I submarine engines that he operated in his backyard. So there's a lot of money involved with these things. I don't feel anyone in this room is going to participate in that in the least. Finally, I'd like to say, I'm really concerned about Mirror Lake. Mirror Lake is the main aquifer for Camden, Rocking, Rockport, and it's fed by Grassy Pond. The water in Mirror Lake is, I go there every day I go by, I stop, I look for it. You're not allowed to fish, put an oar in that water, or a canoe, because it's absolutely pure. The tap water that comes out around here is really quite good. What's going to happen to Mirror Lake when you start blasting 800 feet above it? I just leave that to your imagination. Thanks for listening to my comments.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Ron Huber. I'm from Rockland. And I just want to note a couple of things. One, that I've talked to a couple of windjammer captains who do day trips out of the town, and Ragged Mountain is indeed one of the major natural features that can take people off the sea very quickly. And they would like to certainly keep a close watch on whatever developments take place, but they are concerned, naturally, that this could impact their businesses very importantly. Of course, speaking to a couple of them means that probably there's quite a few more that would like to know that. And the other was, as I understand you all have gotten DVDs that give you a great deal of information about it. Well, I also have a CD I'd like to give to the members of the Select Board and others here. It's a recording that was made earlier this year on Vinylhaven from a porch from somebody who lives about half a mile from these community wind turbines. And it's an hour long, and of course, very few people like to listen to it for an hour, but just if you realize it's the background of their lives now, it could be very helpful. I'll just give them to you at the end of the meeting. That's it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Andrea Young, and I live at 52 Road, which is right underneath. And I'm only adding a couple of things. One, that I don't know if people realize it, but the sound is really amplified. And where I live, I can hear the kids playing loud, very, very loud. If there's music, I can hear it completely amplified. So one, it's amplified. Two, I also wanted to, I didn't understand why we'd be spending $6.5 million on a recreation center over there, and at the same time building those wind turbines. It just doesn't make any sense. It seems kind of crazy. Because people are going to be looking out and skiing and living and loving, and they're going to be underneath these horrible things that I just don't understand. And that's all. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm Ed Ackerman. I have a home at 511 Alamo Road, which is just less than half a mile from the base of the snow bowl. My son and his wife have a home at 550 Alamo. I've spent the last 12 years working in a shop immediately adjacent to the snow bowl. I know how sound carries there, because even at my home up at 511 Alamo, I can hear the announcers for the events at the snow bowl. So the sound of anything up there carries a long, long way. Second, it's a recreation area. And wind turbines shed ice. They throw it a long, long way. Simply as a matter of liability, having something throwing icicles from the end of a wingtip of a blade the length of a 747 is dangerous. And I don't know who would bear the liability for that. I certainly don't want to.
Is there anyone else? Are you sure? You all stayed such a long time. Did everybody want to speak to some of the thoughts that the folks had here? I just don't want people thinking we look just like them. That's sending home. John?
Well, I think I don't know why the energy committee wasn't listed. I have no answer to that. And the question on the minutes, I'm sure there's no conspiracy to hide anything.
Of course.
We're always out there. This was talked about at our meetings, which are meeting minutes, and was also on DVD recording. So, I mean, there's nothing hidden here. This has been talked about for, what, 4 years? Three, 4 years, in some form or another. We talked about the wind study. I believe the wind study started from the same group to do with the high school, correct? By the university or something with it, Massachusetts. And so, I mean, there's nothing hidden. Always up front. But we're not going to do this tomorrow. I don't think there was an intention. I thought we were just fact-finding. It's what I understood the idea behind this committee was, look at it and see if it's worth going forward. Everybody's thinking that we're the evil doers and the Darth Vader or whatever from the Jedi or something, but We're not doing that. I mean, we go out of our way to make sure people know. I mean, as David pointed out tonight, he didn't know about an ordinance that we talked about earlier, but we have public hearings on it. The planning board had public hearings in the paper. I mean, it just happened to slip through. But we don't do that literally. They're always announced. Everything's in the paper. I mean, everything is up front. And the other thing, as Karen pointed out, this is a town meeting government. It takes you folks to vote on it. It takes you folks to vote on, you know, money to do feasibility studies. So I mean, we're not going to do things on our own.